It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
And, of course, Paul Feinbaum with our Football Fridays, brought to you by Bryant Bank. Paul, good morning and happy Friday. It's here.
I can't believe it. And we thought the first weekend of the year was the weekend of the year. This is the weekend of the year.
Yeah, it really is, with two top 25 matchups in the SEC this weekend and some big games that people have been looking forward to for a long time. But I think we need to discuss a little bit about what happened last week, especially for our Auburn fans that listen every Friday morning to Football Fridays. And
how many Auburn fans are going to go to Trick or Treat this year as the blind rest, the blind rest from Oklahoma? Yeah.
I'm sure you guys saw the picture of the about six zebras carrying the Sooner schooner the other day. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand the frustration, but I would ask Jackson Arnold to maybe take a little bit of the blame. I mean, Jackson, don't eat the ball in the end zone, okay?
Yeah, and that mattered to a lot more people than just Auburn fans and Oklahoma fans.
Yeah, that was a bad beat, as they say.
Well, there's a cliche you learn in Pee Wee football: don't let one loss create two. And I think that's the real challenge for Hugh Freeze as they head out to Texas today.
I think you're right. Another road trip at A&M, and if they're distracted in any way, that team is just too good. You got to go in there ready to go.
Yeah, they're a very good team. I interviewed Le'Veon Moss this week. Their running back. I have to tell you guys, I've done interviews all my life. The first four questions got a two-word answer, a three-word answer, a one-word answer, and a four-word answer. And I was about to cut the interview off until he finally opened up and was really quiet. But it was like, I hope you run the ball better than you talk.
Run the ball better than you run your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
And, Paul, you know, we saw, obviously, two quarterbacks in that Auburn and the Auburn-Oklahoma game that people were high on, and Jackson Arnold playing his former team. But you really saw the difference in a John Mateer and a Jackson Arnold in the level of play they're able to reach. I'm wondering some similarities here with Marcel Reed on the other side this weekend, a guy that can throw the ball. He's been really efficient. I think he's thrown one interception. I was looking it up. I think nine touchdowns and one pick so far this year. But he can also get out and make some moves on the ground. So kind of a similar tough test for that Auburn defense this weekend.
Yeah, Marshall Reed's very effective. He kind of came of age last year in the LSU game when they just destroyed the Tigers in the second half. And I think he's the ultimate challenge. Auburn has to create a little bit more offense. Their defense played respectable, probably enough to win, but that's the problem. They lost, and this week, if they lose this one, suddenly the season really is on the brink a couple weeks from now against Georgia.
We'll talk about that Georgia-Alabama game, both of those teams coming off a bye. But, you know, A&M's last game was 2 weeks ago. They beat Notre Dame in a really great game. But how much stock do you put in a team coming off a bye in conference play and being at home, too? I think people underrate the home field aspect of college football maybe too often.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debating, at least within the SEC, home field is the most important factor other than a good quarterback. And I think it helps. Bye weeks in September are tricky because you really do want to get a lot of momentum. Now, we'll get to it in a second, but I think the ultimate bye week question or answer is going to come at 7:30 in Athens, but I don't think it's a bad thing. That was an emotional win, winning in a place like that. Although Le'Veon Moss told me it's not as good as Kyle Field, no big deal, Notre Dame Stadium. I would beg to disagree.
You know, before we get to the main items on this weekend's menu, we're kind of overlooking an SEC team, it would seem, and that would be Missouri. They're playing well. They got a great transfer running back. They got a transfer quarterback who's probably playing a lot better than anybody thought he would. They appear to be, and with the schedule not being the toughest even for an SEC school, they could have themselves a really good year, Paul.
Yeah, I interviewed Eli Drinkwitz this week, and he's kind of a poor man's Spurrier.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's always cracking on something, and they have the easiest schedule in the SEC right now, and they are just sitting at home. I mean, I don't know if they're ever going to leave town, but they really are in a good spot, and I think even now, all these many years later, what, 13, 14, 15 years later, it's still hard to take them seriously, but they've got a good chance of sitting there, and I know Alabama fans can't even think about this right now. But they could be sitting there undefeated in about 3 weeks when Alabama shows up, and that might be one of the biggest games in Missouri's history.
One more quick question, if I would, Don, about Missouri. Are they building something right under our nose that's going to be more SEC ready? I mean, it seems like they're putting the money into it. I think they've got some sort of an NIL situation with state law. I don't know. They're starting to produce one good football team after another after another.
They are. They've always had a good program, but having been out there, what, 3 weeks ago, guys, I mean, it's just, I mean, I've been to every SEC campus. That's a strange experience. It's just very Midwestern.
Yeah.
It's very, to go old school, very Big Eight feeling.
Yeah, it's and Drinkwitz, I mean, he seems like a guy that caught a lot of flack early on and then just stuck around. And I guess you keep giving coaches enough chances, maybe eventually they figure it out. What are you hearing anything about Sam Pittman at Arkansas? I mean, what a brutal loss to Memphis, 32-31. They came back from a huge deficit. And then Arkansas is expected to welcome Notre Dame to town this weekend.
Yes, they are.
And that's going to be a tough game on its own. But are there any rumors that Pittman is on the hot seat, or what's the latest from out in Arkansas?
Yeah, this is the only thing I know about that. He and his wife went into a Publix on Tuesday night, and he bought some green bananas, and the guy said, "You shouldn't get those green bananas. You might want to get something a little ripe."
People like Pittman, though. They do like him, and if they can pull the upset this weekend, I think he buys himself maybe another year if he knocks off Notre Dame.
Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah, maybe another week.
All right, well, we do have these massive matchups coming this weekend, and why don't we start with the biggest of them all? Maybe not ranking-wise necessarily, but certain the eyes of the nation. Night game in Athens, and number 5, Georgia, welcoming number 17, Alabama to town. What's the talk of this game on the Feinbaum show, and what's Paul Feinbaum think about this game?
The talk of the game from Alabama fans is we got this one in the bag. I mean, it is amazing to hear. And listen, the statistics all back that up. You guys know that. but I think there's a lot more to this game. It is last year. I really liked Alabama because Georgia was struggling. And the dogs are already barking, by the way. You could feel the momentum, but I don't know what to make out of it this year because I'm trying to spare you guys the narrative that you hear all week long.
Yeah.
We know what Alabama was. We know what they've been. I have no earthly idea what they'll be on Saturday night. Georgia is a flawed team, but however they got that win at Tennessee, you cannot lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're gritty. They've been tested. I think that favors Georgia a little bit, but the line is incredibly narrow.
Give me a level of importance for that home crowd and night and all that. That's got to work in Georgia's favor, right?
Absolutely. I was there last year for the Tennessee game. Georgia came in. They had lost to Ole Miss the previous week by 2 touchdowns. I mean, it was desperate. And they played poorly in the first half, and somehow in the second half they just gutted it out. And that's the problem when you're a road team, is that you don't control the emotion. I still think that Georgia is smarting from what happened last year. It's like that win over Alabama in the national championship 3 years ago just doesn't count because they've lost to Alabama in so many big games. I think the debate this week is like, who's the pressure on? I think it's in some ways a little bit more on Kirby Smart. You can't come out, you can't go to 0-2 to Kalen DeBoer. Now, I'm well aware what the narrative will be Monday if DeBoer loses this game and doesn't look good. We're all aware of it. Just replay 4 weeks ago against Florida State. But it's an opportunity to win, but I think the dynamics favor Georgia.
Yeah, and Jam Miller apparently coming back for Alabama. I mean, they don't have the run game we're so used to seeing Alabama have, but can Jam Miller be that big of a difference maker coming off that collarbone?
He can, and there are a couple other key players back defensively. I mean, I think Alabama is in a better spot than they were against Florida State, but all my Alabama friends say this is a different team, but I just don't know if you can turn football teams on like a faucet. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to play well in reaction to something, and right now they're coming off a bye week, which doesn't really help them very much. They were playing great 2 weeks ago.
Well, in the other top 15 game.
Yeah, it's big.
And as if there weren't already enough storylines, you have...
this is the storyline of the year.
Ole Miss hosting LSU in Oxford, and that's the 2:30 game on ABC. But I guess news this week that Lane Kiffin's daughter decided to debut her relationship with the LSU linebacker, Whit Weeks, and folks trying to figure out who is trying to get into whose head before this big matchup on Saturday.
I'm glad you said head. I thought you said, we're about to say something else. I mean, this was like, okay, let's come up with another narrative to a game that doesn't need any. For those newcomers out there to college football, this is one of the oldest and bitterest and richest rivalries in the SEC. And it almost seems off Broadway this week because of so much else, but yeah, leave it to Kiffin. I didn't see the documentary the other night, although I appeared in it, so I'm privy to what was going on. But mm-hmm. It was an unusual moment for Lane Kiffin to bear all. He told he talked about all of his problems, his divorce, his battle with alcoholism, and he seems like a different guy at 50. A straight-laced, sober Lane Kiffin. I mean, how much fun can this be?
Well, his daughter's making it a little fun.
So I don't know what to make out of that. It's, my expertise is not commenting on 19-year-olds, but I will, by the way. And Whit Weeks for LSU, he's like probably their most dynamic player off mm-hmm. the field and on.
Yeah, that'll be a great one to watch, too. And plenty of really good games this week. We're so glad you broke them down and break them down with us every week. What do you, before we leave, Vanderbilt, and last year falling to Georgia State the way they did after a big win, none of that happening this year. And they won 70-21 last week. But this Commodores team, it's just, I know that everyone doesn't love talking about them, but it's just so fun to watch Diego Pavia and this team that has been historically awful almost every year. They're really making some waves. Could Vanderbilt be a playoff team by the end of this year?
I doubt it, and I say that objectively because I think their schedule will catch up to them. The problem Vanderbilt is going to have as the season turns toward the midpoint, they can't afford this. They don't have the depth that nobody has depth right now because of NIL and transfer, but they have less. But they do have a dynamic quarterback, and I'm not sure. Is it fair for Diego Pavia to still be playing though? Because I'm pretty sure I read that he just got his AARP card.
he wants to play more, I think. So
he does not want this to end. I don't blame him.
Great stuff as always, Paul. We appreciate your time and have a great one. This where are you guys for this week?
Athens.
Well, that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? So looking forward to checking in with you next week and recapping the big Georgia-Alabama game and looking forward to what we have next.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Thanks a bunch, Paul. Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays on FM Talk 106.5, and it's brought to you by Bryant Bank, of course.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to really delve into the relationship aspect of that LSU-Ole Miss game. You know, it'll be decided between the sidelines, obviously. But will we see Lane Kiffin run out onto the field and tackle Whit Weeks? That's what I want to see.
I think that that Lane Kiffin is going to demand that Whit Weeks remain in his uniform and and helmet the whole weekend. If he's there all weekend.
Good stuff. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Thanks again to Bryant Bank for bringing us Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum. And listen to the Feinbaum Show 2 to 6 every weekday on FM Talk 106.5.